Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia wrote a decision that limited the free exercise clause of religion back in the early 1990s. Many legal scholars think that opinion will eventually be overturned, maybe on the upcoming Supreme Court. Dr. Sally Gordon is a legal scholar at the University of Pennsylvania, and she tells more about Scalia's controversial decision. Check out our conversation. All right, so the Scalia decision seemed to pull back on some of the expansion of religion, is that right?
Or expansion of religious rights. Okay. But I think it's fair to say, and I really want to emphasize this, the rule in free exercise cases is plaintiff loses. The free exercise clause is not a happy place.
You know? When you say the free exercise clause, is that referring to the Brennan decision or is that referring to the Constitution free exercise of religion?
I mean that despite Brennan's decision, I mean that despite there was a case in 1972 called Wisconsin against Yoder that featured the old order Amish wanting to take their children out of school at age 14 instead of 16, and they won. But So many litigants with very compelling stories lost at the same Supreme Court. So I really want to get across that even with a compelling state interest standard, it was not a productive area in many ways for religious litigants. It really wasn't. So getting the free exercise clause back to where it was before 1990 didn't mean that the world was going to all of a sudden be friendly to all kinds of religious actors. So that's one thing. It was never fun teaching. Teaching the establishment clause was interesting, and you could see funding coming and going and all vouchers and all the rest of it. The free exercise clause has been sad.
Okay, so it seems like you were saying yesterday that some constitutional scholars see the Scalia decision being reversed.
They do, and justices have said so themselves.
Okay.
Amy Coney Barrett, for example, said, "We got to be careful. You know, if we reverse this, we have to figure out what's coming next. Because in the past 32 years, a lot has happened, including those two federal statutes." Which is, you know, really, that's a lot. So much of the law, Hobby Lobby, the case involving the chain store and whether or not they had to provide certain kinds of birth control rights to their employees, that was a statutory case.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, because...
So
well,
that's different.
I'll bring this up because, you know, the name of the conference was Religious Liberty.
Right.
And I know many people think that that's code for, we want to discriminate against the gays and leave us alone because we're a religion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, there's some of that. There's certainly some of that going on, and there's a interesting case this year involving a group that wanted to have a straight pride parade in Boston and asked Boston City Hall to fly. It's sort of a standard.
Instead of gay pride, it was straight pride?
Yeah, oh yeah. No rainbow, evangelical flag. So yes, there's some of that, and those are headline grabbing and money raising, you know, sort of hot button issues, and my sense is they're kind of a flash in the pan.
Well, let's talk about, I mean, I think gay rights is kind of the big thing because they're, well, BYU, they were just recently investigated over their position on whether students, the honor code, whether gay students could hold hands, and then they said no, and I mean, there was a lot of bad publicity, and the civil rights investigation cleared BYU. I mean, it felt like kind of a repeat of the late 1960s, early 1970s, when BYU was investigated over race.
Right, or when it was investigated for firing women. Yeah, think about that. Yeah. So religious universities are very active right now. There's a case going up to the Supreme Court from Gordon College, a small, well, not as small any longer, evangelical school in north of Boston. And yes, that's a live issue. The really big case in the field involved Bob Jones University.
In South Carolina.
Exactly. In 1983, the IRS had, and the controversy had been going on for more than a decade.
This was interracial marriage?
It was that first Bob Jones didn't admit any black students. Then it admitted black students if they were married. I think I have this right. Then they admitted them if they covenanted only to date people of their same race. And you know, so in other words, Bob Jones had moved, right? And over the course of the litigation, you get the sense of how painful it is to be involved in litigation. Like, they had moved, but they lost.
BYU was a friend of the brief on that, I believe.
And they submitted an amicus brief on the Bob Jones side?
Yes.
Yeah. So that case featured two fundamental constitutional commands clashing with each other directly, race and religion. Mm-hmm. And race won, flat out. Warren Burger, a Republican Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, wrote the opinion and said, listen, you know, the Civil War was fought over, right? This is so important. This is such a wretched legacy. This is so important that this, if ever there was a compelling state interest, this is it. And when you have a compelling state interest, you win over religion. That's the standard. So it doesn't mean religion wins every time. It means when there's no compelling state interest, religion wins. And that's the biggest state interest in the game. So that is a very bitterly resisted opinion among some evangelicals. So like Tim and Beverly LeHay both went to Bob Jones University. They both said they didn't agree with the racial discrimination, but they both said the case should have come out the other way, that religion should be privileged over race.
Because this, to bring it up to today, I mean, discrimination against over race and the discrimination over sexual orientation
seem
very
similar. They are very similar.
And so, how do you see that playing out? How do you see it playing out? But also, I guess more importantly, can you speak to the idea of those who, I guess, would appreciate Scalia's decision as in not letting religion expand too much? Because, you know, there's a lot of people that are upset about Hobby Lobby and contraception and, you know, the Colorado cake baker that didn't want to make
masterpiece.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's still hotly contested.
Is it
a problem? Because I know you said that you thought the Scalia decision is probably going to be reversed at some point, but how do we
clean up the mess?
Yeah,
it is a mess.
Should the cake maker make a gay cake, or should Hobby Lobby really provide contraception?
Yeah. Well, so you know, I'm a historian, so I'm not good at predicting the future.
I hear that a lot from historians.
The past isn't stable, but it's a lot more stable than the future, right? So I would say that Scalia's opinion did what he wanted it to in many ways. He wanted religious questions to be decided in the realm of politics. He said, if you gotta, go to the legislature, turn to them. Don't bring this case back to the court. So he really wanted, he said, religious groups, if you really want this, don't just file briefs. You know, you have to go and lobby Congress. Or states. And they do, and they always have. They're really good at getting tax exemptions, right? You know, the local tax assessor says, please, I can't educate the kids. I got to be able to tax this, you know, senior living center with the, you know, the lake in the middle and the 18-hole golf course. You know, we don't care that it was built by the Seventh-day Adventists. They're selling for $3 million each. And they go to the state legislature, who are removed, and they want the votes, and so they grant the tax exemption. So there's always been plenty of politics, but it hasn't been polarized in the way it is now. So in some sense, you know, Scalia got what he wanted. He wanted it to become political. Did he foresee how polarized it would be? I don't know, but my guess is he didn't really mind. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act was passed overwhelmingly in 1993 by a bipartisan Congress. I mean, they said, we don't want religion to be politicized. You know, we should just protect it the way the Supreme Court always has. And, you know, I think, you know, it wasn't necessarily as rigorous as it could have been. But it has now become so politicized that, you know, people are searching, like activists are searching for litigants. There's a coach in just outside Seattle whose case is going up to the Supreme Court in yet another God and football case, who was asked to stop praying in public by his school board at high school football games. And he wanted it, like he brought it on. He was kneeling on, you know, on the sidelines. It's become a way of, you know, ramping up, you know, getting the adrenaline going. And I don't see it as even remotely healthy for us to be living like this, for us to be sort of, you know, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act was supposed to protect vulnerable people. And it has done some of that. I mean, it really has. But we have these very, very, you know, red against blue cases, not about the vulnerable people who are being ripped apart by government, but to make these flamboyant statements, you know, on Fox News or on MSNBC, right? I mean, and I really do feel that this is not healthy. And I feel one of the ways that we see this playing out, and it's been an ugly 22 years in the 21st century, is that religious affiliations are going down everywhere. People are far more likely to say that they have none. The number of people over the past 15 years has, or not number of people, it's more than doubled, the percentage of people has doubled who say they have none, no religious affiliation. Many of those people consider themselves spiritual, but with these, you know, deeply loudmouth, you know, cases on the one hand, and clergy sex abuse on the other, right? And cover-ups and financial fraud and, you know, and people yelling at each other, they don't feel comfortable. And something's happening, and it's sad. You know, we are a much less religious country, and yet we're having tons of fights about religion. So I do worry about that. I really do. And I think it's important for religious groups to recognize that something, you know, they care. They want to bring people to, some would call it salvation, some would call it peace, however you phrase it. There's much goodwill out there. And they're not making, it's still going on, but it's so quiet. People aren't paying attention. And also, the large groups who are losing members, lots and lots and lots of members, we need to rethink. So that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about a decline in a country that has a very, very rich religious life, but it is declining. And our diversity is declining. So in religion, I mean. Yeah. And so that concerns me.
Well, and one thing we haven't talked about, which is really a hot button issue, is the abortion issue. Because to me, that's really a religious issue, right? I mean, we're arguing about privacy, but it's the religions that want to ban it for the most part. Although, I believe you mentioned yesterday some Jewish people that feel very differently about the abortion issue.
Yes.
Can you talk
and
about that?
And same-sex marriage. And yes, I mean, I know I was taught by a nun who was one of the nuns who signed a full-page pro-choice ad in the New York Times. So I think it's a mistake to say that all religious people, right? It's a big mistake to say that this is a simple religious question. And the same is true of same-sex marriage.
Well, it seems like, you know, from the 1980s on, you have the Moral Majority and the Christian Coalition that have been very vocally anti-abortion.
Yes.
And I think the Catholic nuns that you speak of, they don't get the headlines.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
There's an anti-Catholic bias here in America as well.
Well, I do think there are, I think that had really almost vaporized, but I think clergy sex abuse has revived some of that. Although no group comes off looking good, right? It happens everywhere. People are people, and you give them power over other people and... Yeah, especially when they're in private. And a lot of people have a lot of very disgusting sexual tastes. They really do. However, I think it's a mistake to say that abortion, or same-sex marriage, that they're single vision issues, because they're not. I also think that Catholics... Catholics just are, they vote just like the rest of the country. In other words, about, 55% support abortion, right? So I think it's a mistake to lump people into one category. And I think one of the things you see in the pews is the kids squirming on this. And it's the younger you are, the less likely you are to be to want to go to church, right, at this point. And so some of the yelling and screaming is clearly counterproductive. We have to do better. We have to think about our children. We have to think about the earth we're leaving to our children. We have to think about what our religion is saying. Are they giving them the kind of hope we want them to have?
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Sally Gordon. In our next conversation, Sally talks about an inspiring religious leader that she met.
I'm thinking of one rabbi who came to address a class I was teaching. And she said that what she wants to deliver as a rabbi is transformative ritual and joy that flows from that. And for her, that was the key. It wasn't about anything. Politics, she didn't care. She didn't care. She wanted to provide deep and abiding meaning and joy. And I was inspired by her. I said, now that's someone you'd want to follow.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe to patreon.com/gospeltangents for just $5 a month. Patreon is spelled patreon.com/gospeltangents. If you'd like to watch the entire video, you can subscribe at YouTube, Patreon, or on my website at gospeltangents.com and click the yellow subscribe button for just $8 a month. PDF transcripts are just $10 a month, and you can get those on patreon.com/gospeltangents or on my website. I'll send those to you as soon as I've finished completing it. If you'd like to get a paperback and PDF, just subscribe for $20 a month at either Patreon or on my website. Individual paperbacks are available at amazon.com. Just do a search for Gospel Tangents interview, and you can find all of our past interviews there. Show your Gospel Tangents pride by purchasing a t-shirt on our website at gospeltangents.com/shop. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. You can get our latest updates by friending me at Facebook, or you can also follow our page at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Become an insider and you can see the newest videos. Follow us on Twitter at gospeltangents. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some of our great videos. Thanks again.